an attorney. I know I could file a lawsuit for you. I can litigate. I'm in the courtroom and I can argue your best case. What I was not is a fashion person. I was not a designer. So my learning curve was humbling. And it still humbles me to this day because I'm learning every single day how to navigate the waters in this new industry.
The Entrepreneurista Podcast Network presents Startups in Stilettos, your guide to getting your business off the ground.
We're your hosts. I'm Jessica Abo, media trainer and journalist.
And I'm Stephanie Carton, co-founder of Entrepreneurista, Socialfly, and Marked. Each week, we'll talk to a new startup founder about how they turned their great idea into a business.
And then Stephanie and I will answer their questions about taking that business to the next level.
Get ready to grow your business and put your best heel forward.
Welcome back, everybody. Today, we are talking with Karen Fultz Robinson. She is the founder of athletic apparel company, Observa May. We are so thrilled to have you here, Karen. Tell us a little bit about your company.
First of all, thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here and to be able to talk about our climb as a startup in our stilettos. Observa May is a luxury athletic apparel company. We have answered the demand of the public looking for an American-made product that provides innovation, that provides quality, and it also will not disappoint upon wear and upon longevity. We started out in 2016, we meaning myself. I'm an attorney by trade, and I moved to Florida after deciding that I wanted to go into academia. Once I became a professor, I needed to fill my additional time, and I decided to run marathons. During marathon training, I realized that there was a need in the industry. When you are running, you're trying to figure out your pace, your distance, and all of those things, those metrics that are necessary in order for you to perform at an optimal level. So during a training run, a 15-mile training run, I discovered that there was a need for a opening in the long sleeves of athletic wear. So I just started designing it myself, contacted a friend who's a patent attorney, and he recommended that I just start doing it on my own. And that's when I contacted a seamstress to help me create the pattern. And then that's all she wrote. From there, the relationships and resources that became available to me helped me grow that design to a sample product and ultimately to a athletic wear line.
Wow, that is such an incredible story. Thank you for sharing that. And Karen, I feel like so many entrepreneuristas have ideas of things that they want to start, but don't necessarily put pen to paper and actually make it happen and turn it into a business. How much time did it take you from idea to execution of now bringing this business to life?
I am very impatient type person. So I tend to fast track things because once I see it in my mind in terms of creativity, I want to see it come to fruition where it's tangible and touchable. So for me, I was able to get it from concept to actual sample in less than 6 months. I was able to find someone, and it really was a true blessing of the resources and relationships that I was able to make along the way. I don't minimize the importance of those two R's, resources and relationships. Without those two, I would not have been able to do any of it. So I would say within 6 months, I had my first sample shirt ready for me to review and approve for full production.
Were there any tools that you used that really helped you get your business off the ground?
Oh, gosh, yes. I'm self-funded. So the first thing that I had to use was my financial ability to save and understand that you can't sacrifice your family for this idea. And then what I mean by that is I had to make sure that our financial house was solid before I took on this additional endeavor. So the one thing that I wanted to make sure was in place was my financial house. And then secondly, the education piece. As I mentioned, I'm an attorney. I know I can file a lawsuit for you. I can litigate. I'm in the courtroom and I can argue your best case. What I was not is a fashion person. I was not a designer. So my learning curve was humbling. And it still humbles me to this day because I'm learning every single day how to navigate the waters in this new industry.
When you first had the idea to start this business, what was your vision for the company? And what does the company look like today? Is it the same as what you thought it would be when you were first starting?
No, It is totally different from my original vision. My original vision was, I'm going to go to an expo for one of the major marathons. They're going to fall in love with my shirt and I'm going to become a millionaire that day. That's not how it works. You think you have the best idea in the world. Now you have to learn how to create in the image, in the mind of others, that your idea is the best idea for them as well. And that's where social media, marketing, and all those great things come about. So when I first imagined the company, that's what I said, I'll be a millionaire in a year. Now what I realize is the baby steps that you take, the learning curve that you have to travel. And now my image is, I didn't want to just create a shirt. I want to now help people. It started out where I wanted to make money. Now it's more about, I want to help people on their healthy journey. I want to understand, what can I do to provide people with the tools to get rid of the obstacles that tells them, that they say to themselves, well, I'm not going to go for a run today. I'm not going to walk today. I'm not going to exercise today. What can I do to stop that? And I started doing more research to understand that 89% of the people who make a determination that I want to be healthy fail because they don't have the right clothes on. So I went then turned my attention to, let's do a full body experience. We have sports bras, leggings, jackets, shirts, etc. My image has now morphed into, I am not only a shirt peddler, I'm actually an athletic wear manufacturer. We make, cut, sew, and produce in-house in our facility here in Tampa Bay. And it amazes me every time I walk through the door to say, wow, I can't believe this now dream has turn into a new dream.
Can you share a little bit more about the people that you are helping and the feedback that you received because of the way that you have designed and created and manufactured these clothes?
Two types of customers come to mind immediately with that question. One are cancer survivors. When I launched the sports bra design, a couple of survivors mentioned to me, wow, this provides such great support and this is what I was looking for. There are designs out there that are wonderful for women who've gone through the process, gone through reconstruction. And this bra that we provide, our high impact sports bra, it gives the support in the back as well as the front and the sides. And it holds you nicely and comfortably without, as a lot of women describe, digging in. The other class of customers that have benefited are individuals who suffer from mental illness, which is our passion. And I can talk about our charity that we created later to further that goal. But anxiety, depression, a lot of the unconventional ways to battle those type of challenges is by movement, by constant activity, generating those endorphins to fight back that bad serum or that bad chemical emissions that you receive from your brain. So we encourage movement, and a lot of people want to look good doing it, want to understand the science behind the clothing that help you prevent future physical injuries, such as chafing of the skin, such as lack of endurance or fatigue. We educate our consumers as to how our clothing help with the moisture absorption and the compression and et cetera.
Karen, when you first launched, how did you get the word out about your business?
Ooh, good question. So when I first launched, the first thing I did, of course, is what everyone does, is I went to Facebook. I did not understand or appreciate the importance of Instagram like I do now and the power of Instagram. So the first thing I did was Facebook. When I started in 16, the biggest thing was Google, making sure that you are rated high in Google searches and et cetera. So I fought hard for that. And I did the traditional route because I'm old school, and I did a legal analysis on television as a professor. I would do legal analysis for the local news, and I realized the importance of being on TV. So I hired a PR firm as well to help me get the word out and sending out press releases, et cetera, especially when we were starting in 16, 17, and 18, we were at the Boston Marathon, Detroit Marathon, and wanted our presence to be known because we recognize the space we're in and the competition is fierce.
Karen, are you still working as a lawyer full-time and running this business, or are you solely focused on your business now?
Solely focused on my business now.
When were you able to make the leap and focus on your business full time? And how did you make that decision? Because I know a lot of entrepreneurs, especially now, are really trying to figure out, you know, how can I turn my side hustle into something full time and be able to support myself and my family? How did you make that decision?
Again, it really was the evaluation of the financial status of our household. But the catalyst to that was, and I'm sure people are probably tired of hearing this, the pandemic, right? The pandemic really changed the game for a lot of people, including myself. It sat me down forcefully to evaluate what was important. Lifestyle is important. Health is important. And it slowed us down to spend more time together and just refocus and understand where do I want to go next in my career? Where do I want to go next in my life in the second half? I just turned 50 a month ago. So it really was a self-evaluation to say, how do you do this? So of course, Shark Tank says you can't serve two gods. You can't have two full-time jobs. Something is not going to work out right if you're trying to do two things at the same time. Which one do you want to spend your time doing the most? And I wanted to see Observer may become successful, realizing that I had to give it the majority of my attention. And that's when I made the transition over.
And can you tell us a little bit about how you settled on the name?
So Observer May is Spanish for watch me. And of course, I designed the clothing with the watch opening in the sleeve, and it's a patent pending design. Also, back in 16, you saw the rise in selfies. So a lot of that is getting people to understand that you want individuals to watch you change your life in a positive way. You also want to watch your metrics. You want to watch your performances. So it was a play on words. And I want it to be different as well as we come out with a name that explains who we are and what we do.
I love that. I love hearing the origin stories of everyone's business names. And that's definitely a good one, Karen. Can you share a little bit about where you are now in your business and what you're looking forward to next?
So where we are currently, it was incremental growth. So we first had to establish the production line. As I mentioned, that I brought in all the equipment to create our own manufacturing facility, then establishing the need to develop the inventory so we got the proper staff in place, got the tech packs and et cetera in place to make sure we had what we needed, and now building the inventory. Where we are now are building relationships with consumers, building relationships with retailers. We want to expand our brand nationally as well as internationally. We are on marketplaces in New Zealand as well as the United States with Wolf and Badger that helped us expand in the UK and Europe as well. So internet e-commerce has been very instrumental in our growth throughout this journey. We are not in a brick and mortar. The way we hopefully will view ourselves inside stores is getting involved with the Neiman Marcuses of the world and other big box retailers in order to expand our brand to a different customer base. We also offer personal shopping experiences for people in the metropolitan area. We will come to you and provide you with a personal shopping experience as well.
Want a chance to be on the show? We're currently accepting applications from our Entrepreneurista League members to be featured on Startups and Stilettos. Think of the Entrepreneurista League as your team members in what can be a lonely startup founder's journey. As startup founders, we may not get the luxury of a huge team from day one, but with the League community, you have a built-in support system. It's been proven that the only way you can build a successful startup is with a strong community. If you find yourself in need of that community, there's a place for you in the Entrepreneurista League. Our members are networking, doing business together, and forming real and meaningful connections. Head over to entrepreneurista.com/join to learn more. That's entrepreneurista.com/join. I can't wait to meet you and help you navigate your business journey.
Speaking about your marketing plans and your PR plans, as a former TV reporter, I love that you talked about the importance of television and your appearances in your legal life. Tell us a little bit about how we can help you from that PR and marketing perspective moving forward.
Absolutely. Well, what I would like to learn more with your knowledge base is how do we tap into the newer generation? When I was coming along, of course, TV was the way the message was conveyed to the consuming base. Now it's social media, and social media has grown and expanded so much. It's hard to understand, like, what is the best medium within social media in order to reach your new consuming base to convince them of the new brand and create the confidence level that they need for an e-commerce company. So that would be more so my question to you guys is, how do you do that when it's not a brick and mortar? They can't walk into a store. How do you make that happen and create that consumer confidence?
Karen, have you tested working with any influencers or creators?
We have tested a couple influencers and didn't see a lot of traction from there. We created an OM affiliate club in order to attract people to become influencers in their own right and incentivize them by financial gains for becoming a part of the club. So we're trying different methods in order to expand our reach.
Has that worked with the affiliate or ambassador program? Because that is something I was going to suggest, is really building that out and focusing on your current customers right now and them sharing content about wearing your products and how it's helped them in their journeys as well. Because your customer storytelling, their friends are then going to see that and want to be part of it too. And giving them that financial incentive is definitely very helpful. And I see a lot of e-commerce businesses being very successful doing that. So I know you said you started it. Like, have you been focused on it? Has any of that been successful?
It has been. We've gotten traction on it. We set up meetings to educate the new club members on the product and little sales tactics. And folks have experienced or expressed a big interest in becoming a club member. And also not only incentivizing them monetarily, but incentivizing them by discounting on products, et cetera, because then they benefit and want to be healthy as well. So we did see a lot of interest in that.
The other thing I was going to suggest is, do you have a community platform or a Facebook group for your ambassadors or customers?
That's a good question. I do not.
That is something that I would recommend, is really bringing this community of customers together, because clearly they all have something in common together. And if you can create a community around your customers and you give them the opportunity to be able to connect with each other, share different things that are going on in their lives as they're exercising and what's working for them, what's not working for them, you can then jump in and offer them exclusive discounts or sneak peeks at new products that are coming out. That's something that could definitely work to really be able to build that engagement and, you know, keep your brand top of mind with your customers by creating this community for them.
Oh, that sounds like a great idea. Thank you.
And I'm on your Instagram now. And something that I would just think about is the statistic that you shared with us. That's really interesting information and something that's easy to put into a graphic. So I see you have a lot of images of people wearing your clothing, but I think what makes your brand so interesting and so relatable is the fact that being healthy matters, the fact that you've helped people who are maybe undergoing treatment or living life post-treatment. I would try to share a little bit more of the personal side of your business on your Instagram, because right now, if I didn't see the name of the brand at the top, I would think that this was any other athletic brand, but you're not just any other athletic brand. You have so much to offer and you have such a story that I would try to incorporate your story in your posts a little bit more.
Thank you. Thank you.
Another idea I have is partnering with other brands that have the right clientele or audience for you that may not be, of course, you know, not a competitor brand, but they have a similar audience. And whether that's doing giveaways with them, you know, for follower growth, or maybe it's partnering with them doing Instagram Lives or Facebook Lives and really bringing that community together. Partnerships can be a really great way to do that. And I would actually say through the Entrepreneurista League community, there's definitely members that have businesses where they're looking to reach a similar customer. So I would suggest even posting in the community platform and reintroducing yourself again, sharing more about your business and seeing if anyone's open to doing a partnership or collaboration together.
That would be fantastic. I was fortunate enough to meet at the Miami event with Entrepreneurista, a lot of women that were open to that. So they are very good women. It's a very good group, very inviting in that way.
Definitely hop in the community platform and share that message. And the other thing I was going to share about Instagram is that when you get a new follower, you can send them a direct message and welcome them to the community, ask them if they have any questions. I always like to remind entrepreneuristas that, especially if you're spending a lot of time on Instagram and growing this audience on Instagram of potential customers, you now have direct access to be able to talk to them and to send them a direct message. So take the time to put together, you know, what that DM message and strategy should be and build those connections with your audience there, because they're following you for a reason. So they are all hopefully potential customers for you as well.
That's exactly right. Thank you for that tip.
Steph, is that something that you can automate, or does Karen have to send that DM to each person one by one?
There are definitely ways to automate it. There's also, if someone sends you a DM in Instagram, you can set up frequently asked questions in there. But in the beginning, when you're first starting out, I think it's great to do things manually just to learn and hear what people are saying and connect with your customers one-on-one to learn from them. Ultimately, there's software that you can use to make it scalable. But I think in the beginning, when you're testing that strategy, it is great to go in there and have actual conversations with these potential customers so you can learn from them and learn what type of content and messaging to them actually works well and helps convert. So then when you set up automations, you're doing what works well.
So do you find that customers are more responsive to authentic and organic DMs and responses and then transition into the automated as it grows?
Definitely. Because remember, when you're talking to people, like, people are people. Think about when you get a message on Instagram or on another platform, like, you can tell if something just seems like totally automated and scripted. But if you can say to someone, "Hey, Karen, it's so great to connect with you. Thanks so much for following our Instagram account," ask them a question about themselves. So then they have to respond back to you and start that conversation. Like, you don't want to jump in and just say, "Great to connect with you. Here's a discount for $15 off your first purchase here," because you haven't built that relationship yet. So offer value, learn about them, find out what's important to them. And then ultimately, of course, you can, you know, send them over to your website and recommend a product, but you want to build those real authentic relationships.
That's fantastic. And then as a startup company, do you recommend that a virtual assistant or assistants are hired for that purpose? Or do you recommend that the entrepreneurista, the founder themselves, do that type of communication at the beginning?
I would say in the beginning, when you're testing, for you to test it just to see how it works and understand the process and see what works well, see what doesn't work well. And that doesn't mean spending, you know, 3 months doing that. It could be 3 hours. And then once you see what's working, then if you bring on a virtual assistant, you can, you know, teach them, show them what to do, and then you know enough to be able to have someone executing that. If you just jump in and say, "I'm going to hire someone to do this," and they jump in and have no idea what they're doing, and they don't have, you know, as a virtual assistant, don't have experience putting together a content strategy for DMs, then it might not be effective. So you either need to hire an expert who has that experience putting together, you know, DM strategies, or test it yourself first and then bring on someone that you can outsource that to.
That sounds good. Now, how do you best use publicists? We hire a publicist. Do you communicate with them on a regular basis, allow them to just execute their own strategy with their pitch list? Or what is your recommendation on best use of publicists?
When did you hire your publicist, and how many do you have?
This is my second publicist, and we hired them 3 months ago.
How many people are on your team?
The company assigned a publicist to our account for handling, and she has an assistant that will work with her. And they also have a third person who will handle the social media creation piece. So once we're published, for example, if we were in a gift guide, then we will receive the link for publication in our social media to let our followers know this is the new publication featuring our company.
So every publicist is different and has their own system. So you want to make sure that you talk with the person who is managing your account. It might be the founder of the firm, and it might be an employee that they assign your brand. So you want to make sure that you know early on, are we talking every Friday? Am I getting an email every Monday? And you want to share what is the best way for you to be kept in the loop, because at the end of the day, they are on your side. But everyone has a different process, but you should know what that process is as soon as possible.
And do you believe startups benefit from retaining publicists on a regular basis?
I think startups benefit from having the right publicist. And I think some people do a great job doing PR on their own. especially if they are someone like you who have TV contacts and other media contacts from a previous career. When people are starting from scratch, they can have tremendous success, and other people might take a little while to get up and running because they're just developing those relationships. Having said that, if you are someone who doesn't have time to do PR in a DIY fashion, then having a publicist can be amazing. The reason why I don't say yes across the board is because I've seen health companies hire a fashion PR company and then not see the return on their investment because that company, that PR firm, didn't have the right relationships with the right reporters at the right outlets. So you want to make sure that you've picked a publicist that understands your industry, that has contacts in your industry. In this case, it would be the fashion industry for you, and that you're not dealing with someone who's starting from scratch. It's not to say if you picked a publicist and they had to start from scratch that they couldn't land you amazing gigs. It might just take them longer. So you should know that up front.
I think it's also important to really figure out what your goals are from PR and specific placements, and making sure that you have the specific list of places where you want to be featured, and whether that's you coming up with that list or working with your PR team on that strategy. And then from there, determining what that strategy is once you get those placements, how can you use those placements to further amplify your business to help you drive sales? Because ultimately, the goal is to drive sales for the business. And I think a lot of people assume, you know, if you get a placement and you get a hit on the Today Show, that all of a sudden, I remember going back to what you said before, you know, we're going to have $1 million business overnight. And while sure, can those things sometimes happen? Yes, but they're very few and far between. Typically, the way PR works now is you get a placement, and let's say you get a placement on the Today Show or Good Morning America, or maybe it's on your local news, which is still amazing. How can you take that placement and amplify that placement to drive sales? And typically, the way that you'll see that happening is taking that placement and then putting ad spend behind Facebook or Instagram and showing, you know, as seen on the Today Show, or as seen on Good Morning America, as seen on ABC7, and it provides customers with that credibility and the validity, like, oh, this is a credible brand. I want to buy from them. I'm now seeing that messaging over and over again, because as you know, again, Today Show is a great placement, but a lot of people are not actually watching the Today Show live or even watching the replay. But when you post that you were featured on the Today Show, people think that's amazing. And then they see that, and then you have that credibility. So those would be my tips there.
That makes sense. Thank you.
I love everything that Steph just said, and I agree with everything that she brought up. The other thing too is to make sure that your publicist really knows you, because this is the person who's going out to the media on your behalf. So if you have this incredible story and your publicist is unaware of that story, maybe she doesn't know, or he doesn't know, and I'm totally making this up, about the fact that one of your strongest customers are people who are cancer survivors. Well, then they're going to miss the opportunity to pitch you in October when it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So you want to make sure that all of the things that could be themes and angles a publicist could pitch, that they are aware of, and that they are aware of these things early on, again, so they don't miss the opportunity to pitch you in September for an October segment. Because if they find this out in November, then that's just such a miss across the board.
Yeah, absolutely. There's one thing about this business, you always have to think 90 days ahead of what you want to achieve.
Karen, is there anyone in the Entrepreneurista League that we can introduce you to, or anything else we can do within our community to be able to help you in your business?
Oh, that's a very good question. I think when I first joined, and I say this in every space that I'm in, if you can ever find a way to introduce me to Oprah, I'm your girl.
All right. We will add that to our list. But I will say, you know, again, if it's a goal to get featured in Oprah's magazine or get on our list, I would definitely talk with your PR team about that, because she does lots of lists for gift guides and for segments in their editorial. So have you had a conversation with your PR team about being able to connect with their editorial team?
I have. I always put it on my wish list, and everyone who knows me knows that's on my wish list, along with Sarah Blakely. Sarah Blakely's red backpack story has always resonated with me, even before I started my design of our watch opening shirts. And it's just been amazing in terms of watching her growth and the growth of that company, Spanx. It's just from the basement to the C-suite. It's amazing.
She is an incredible, incredible entrepreneurista. So yes, we will definitely see what we can do there. Karen, thank you so much for spending time with us. It's been incredible learning about your startup journey, and how much you've been able to accomplish in just a few years is truly incredible. Where can everyone find you and follow you? And those who are interested in buying your product, what's the best place to do so?
You can find us at observerme.net, O-B-S-E-R-V-A-M-E.net. This is where all of our designs can be found, and that's where they're sold. We are also on Instagram at observerme, which is O-B-S-E-R-V-A_M-E. And we are offering for the listeners, as well as the Entrepreneurista in the League, 15% off for supporting observerme, which is Entrepreneurista 15 is the code.
Karen, thank you so much. And thank you for sharing that discount. We will be sure to link out to everything in the show notes below, so it's easy for our Entrepreneurista League members to find it. Karen, thank you again for being here. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jessica. And we're here to help you
put your best heel forward. You've been listening to Startups and Stilettos, the show that highlights your peers in the startup world and meets you where you are to get you through your biggest challenges and towards your biggest goals. For additional episodes, extra content, show notes, and more, visit startupsandstilettos.com. Did you love this episode? Leave us a review and send us a screenshot via Instagram DM at Entrepreneuristas, and you can enter to win a one-on-one mentor and strategy session with me. We're drawing a new winner every month, and I cannot wait to meet you.
Hi, everyone. It's Jessica Abo, media trainer and co-host of Startups and Stilettos, and I want to talk to you about your PR goals. Do you want to learn how to get more press for your business and then be the best guest? I'm here to help you. Go to jessicaabo.com to download my free PR guide called Get Press with Jess Today. That's J-E-S-S-I-C-A-A-B-O.com, and download my free guide. I can't wait to help you get more press and be the best guest.